Rivals of Fortune, written by Jane Ashford and read by Gemma Dawson.
Chapter 1. Miss Joanna Rowntree sat very straight in the drawing room of her father's house near Oxford, her eyes fixed painfully on the mantel clock. There was nothing in the appearance of this rather handsome timepiece to explain the anxiety in her expression. Nor did the room yield a clue. It was an elegant, comfortable apartment, not quite in the first stare of fashion. A Londoner might aver, yet showing taste and the means to command some of life's luxuries. The deep cream of the walls, the dark blue velvet hangings, and the French furniture formed a pleasing contrast to the rolling green fields visible through the long windows. The slender girl, sitting stiffly before the fireplace, ignored these familiar surroundings. A diminutive brunette, Miss Rowntree kept her large brown eyes on the clock, which now read 11:06. Her tightly folded hands had crumpled her pink morning dress, and one of her glossy brown curls had fallen down over her shoulder, but she noticed none of this. It was not until the drawing-room door opened and her mother came into the room that Joanna roused a little. But even then, she merely turned her head slightly before going back to gazing at the clock. Her expression became a bit more soulful, perhaps, and her hands twisted in her lap, but she said nothing. Mrs. Rowntree, also a very attractive brunette who had retained her figure through 20 years of marriage and 3 children, frowned slightly and watched her only daughter with lips pressed together. She seemed undecided about something, but finally she said, "Joanna?" in a tone calculated to command the girl's immediate attention. Joanna turned, her eyes growing even larger.
"Oh, Mama," she replied in a soft, languishing voice. "I didn't hear you come in."
"Did you not indeed?" said her mother. "And I suppose you also forgot that you were to help Mrs. Harwood with the linens this morning. She looked for you for quite 30 minutes.
Joanna stared at her in amazement.
"Linens? Oh, Mama,
it lacks but 11:03. They are at the church even now, and you talk to me of linens."
She looked down and brought her clasped hands to her bosom. A spark of sympathy showed in Mrs. Rowntree's eyes, and she sighed. She started to speak, thought better of it, and went to sit down beside her daughter. She took one of Joanna's hands and patted it, but when she spoke, her tone was firm.
"Joanna, you are being silly. These die-away airs do no one any good, I promise you. Please do stop. I am going into Longton. Come along, and we will see if we can find a new dress length at Quentin's."
"Longton?"
echoed the girl with a distaste for the neighbouring village she had never before exhibited.
"Mama, how can you be so unfeeling?"
The clock struck 11, and Joanna started convulsively.
"At this moment, Peter is being married, and you wish me to go to Longton and look at dress lengths? Oh, Mama!"
Sympathy showed again in Mrs. Rowntree's face, but she answered only,
Well, you were not really engaged to Peter, you know, my dear."
Joanna raised her head.
"Not engaged? But it has been understood since we were children that we would marry. Indeed, he told me before he went to London in March that we would be married when he returned."
Her mother's lips came together again.
"Well, he was very wrong to do so without a word to your father. And you were wrong to listen to him. You see where such behaviour leads? A great deal can happen to a young man during a London season, and you would have done better to have told him that you would see about that when you came to town yourself next year."
"Oh, I shan't go now," said Joanna, turning to gaze out the window and avoid her mother's censorious glance.
Her diversion was successful.
"Not go? Of course we shall. You have been 18 these 2 months, Joanna. Naturally, I shall present you in London next season.